B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's 11:30 across the Delaware Valley. Cuz ready with the Chimas hanging out. Getting ready for tomorrow night. 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. We can't wait. Game one of the playoffs begin tomorrow night. We're the thrilled Flyers, Canadiens, and of course, game two, Friday, 3 o'clock. You can hear game two right here on the Fanatic at 3 o'clock. And joining us right now, man, he has done a fabulous job putting together his team. Chuck Fletcher, GM of the Flyers. Good morning, Chuck. How are you?
I'm doing well, Anthony. How are you?
We're great. And first of all, let me just say congratulations. It's just been such a fun ride this whole year. And then getting back in the bubble, it's been fantastic, Chuck. So thank you.
Oh, no problem. It's been a good run so far, and we can't wait to get playing. It's the Canadiens are a good hockey team. I think a little bit underrated. Great speed, some good young players, and great goaltending. So we'll have a challenge ahead of us. But you know, we've been here well over 2 weeks, and we played four games. So I know everybody's excited to get back to playing hockey on a regular basis.
But can we go to the beginning? And I love the story of how a team progresses and rebuilding a team. And you as an architect, you come in and there was some great talent here, and they had won and were kind of like at a crossroads almost, and you need to hire a coach. And I know a lot of people wanted Quenneville, and they're looking at Joel Quenneville, and you said, I want to hire Lane Vigneault. Take us back to that process, because that was the first of your moves that just hit it out of the park.
Yeah, but the first point you made is a great point. I mean, Ron Hextall did a really good job of restocking the cupboards. There was a lot of very good young players, but the reality is we needed to learn how to play the right way, and we needed to learn how to defend better. There was lots of offensive talent in the group and lots of care. These young guys really care and want to win, but they needed to be guided. And Lane's track record speaks for itself. I had the misfortune of being in the same division with him for several years when he was in Vancouver, and we were in Minnesota, and we bumped heads with them regularly, and their teams were always structured. They always played fast. They always seemed to control the puck possession game. So the biggest thing when we sat down to meet was, did he want to work with me and with the Flyers, and B, did I want to work with him? I don't think there was much in terms of interviewing him, trying to figure out if he could coach. Obviously, he could coach. It's more about the fit, the opportunity both ways. I think things went great, and it's been a good decision for our team.
Yeah, and it was great about him is he's got such a good way about him. And it's almost like it is what it is. And he's going to tell you, if you're not playing well, I don't care if you're a veteran or a young guy, this is the rules, man. You got to play. If not, you're going to be a healthy scratch, and that's that.
Exactly. And when we started camp this year, what he said to the players is, show it. We can talk all we want to talk. We can have these great plans, but really we all have to go out and show it. You're going to be held accountable. And it's never personal with him, though, when he's sad a veteran player, when he's had a tough conversation with a veteran player or a rookie. It's just matter of fact. It's showing the video, and this is what you didn't do. This is how we need you to do it better. And he's very direct and honest, but it's not a personal attack. Hey, you need to do this. I know you can do it. And his ability to command a room, his ability to get the players to buy in and play the way he wants them to play and enjoy it, it's just been tremendous. I think his experience and the experience of the entire staff, they've seen every situation. They know how to handle it, and I think the players really respect that.
We're talking to Flyers GM Chuck Fletcher on the Comcast Business Hotline. Chuck, the other move before the season was you signed Kevin Hayes. And I'll raise my hand and say, I thought it was too much money, right? That's how much I know. And Kevin Hayes has been a tremendous signing. He's become a heart and soul guy. He's great in the room. He's better on the ice. That line with Konechny and Lawton has been fabulous. What did you see? What did you see in Hayes knowing that he would be the fit here?
Well, we relied a lot on obviously our pro scouts and Elaine Vigneault, who knew him well, to kind of put his game into context and what it would mean in our situation. But it's just extremely hard to get centermen. And, you know, we were really thinking that, you know, with Sean Couturier and Kevin Hayes and Nolan Patrick, we would have three big skilled centermen that could play 200-foot games and really solidify us through the middle of the ice. And after we traded for Kevin, we negotiated with him for a couple weeks. And at that point, we started to find out that Nolan wasn't feeling great. So it became even more of an imperative to bring some depth in. Yeah. But, you know, Kevin's a guy that we think he's a late bloomer. He's a guy that's a good offensive player, certainly can be a good defensive player, a good penalty killer. And he brings a lot of life and energy to a group. And, you know, it's hard to find these guys. It's hard to sign them. You know, the market for these players is anywhere from about $5.5 million to about $8 million. You know, we did what we had to do. We got him signed, and we're happy we did.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. It was a great move. And the other thing you did, and this will take us to the present, but the other thing was at the deadline, and I know people were screaming, oh, we'll try to get some big names in, and you wind up getting two veteran cogs that I think were perfect for this lineup in Derek Grant and Nate Thompson. Gave you that depth that everybody's raving about right now.
Yeah, they've come in and fit in really well. And, you know, two veteran guys, you know, Grant is a guy that he played under power play this year for a while after JVR was injured. He can kill penalties. He's pretty good on faceoffs. He can play wing. He can play center. And Nate Thompson has similar attributes. You know, he's not going to play under power play, but he can kill and he can play center. He can play wing. He'll block a shot. And what you see in playoffs is, you know, if you're fortunate enough to go deep, you're going to have injuries. You're going to have situations where guys get run down. And when you have the ability to put guys in different spots and move them around the lineup and have that depth that, you know, gets talked about a lot, but truly coaches appreciate it. It's so important. And you know, at the deadline, the one thing is we liked our team. We didn't feel we needed to change anything. We had been one of the better teams in the league for a couple months, and we just really wanted to supplement versus changing things over. And usually those types of moves have less of an impact on your team in terms of disrupting your chemistry when you're bringing in guys that can move all over the lineup. These guys are character guys, and our you know, our team has embraced them, and they've done a good job for us.
Flyers GM Chuck Fletcher with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. I don't have to school you about Philadelphia and hockey and the Flyers and, you know, what it mean, what this franchise means to the area. And it was dark days for a good 5 years. We were talking about the whole process of the Flyers, and now it feels like it's back, and it feels real good, Chuck. And you look at this team, and this is great, and this tournament and the bubble. Thank God we're able to play. But this team is so filled with young talent that it's going to be good for a while. I know that has to just excite you.
Yeah, it is. And again, I can't say enough about the job that the scouting staff did and Ron Hextall's vision. And, you know, obviously when you're retooling or rebuilding or whatever term you want to use, there's going to be some days that aren't great. But, you know, just these young players, a lot of good young players were drafted. There's a very good development staff. The coaching staff in Lehigh Valley has worked hard with some of these guys, particularly players like Sanheim and Myers, who we've seen emerge this year. It takes time. It's not always a simple process, but, you know, right now we have a pretty good mix of those young kids that are starting to learn how to play in the league and be effective and the veteran guys that have been there and done that and are just itching to try to win something. So, you know, everything's kind of clicking right now. There's going to be some challenges ahead, though. We know that. But there's certainly every reason to be optimistic for the next few years. And It's a good, you know, it's a good hockey team, and right now we'd really like to show that we're better than good. We'd like to make a run here and show what we can do, and it's going to be a challenge. It's tough, but it seems like it's a wide open year, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, can we? You got a couple more minutes. I'm dying to hear what you think about certain guys. So I just want to play a little game with you, Chuck, where I just give you a player, and then you riff off the top of your head. And I got to start with the goalie. You know the rich history of goaltenders in Philadelphia. It starts with Bernie through Pelly, and then, of course, Hexie. When I say Carter Hart, what do you say about him?
Well, he's cerebral. He's poised. And it's a position that often takes time to learn the craft, particularly at the pro level and at the NHL level. And he obviously has the talent and the track record from junior and all that. But, you know, he's a young man that seems to be able to learn lessons quickly. And this year he had some bumps in the road, but he's been able to kind of bounce back and get on track quickly. And this will be another challenge for him, though. The physicality around the net in the playoffs really picks up. And Montreal has some guys that like to get in around the net and bump them. And this will be a whole new challenge for him. But he's a quick learner, and hopefully that works out well for us.
How about Konechny?
He's a heartbeat guy. Lots of talent and skill and speed, but he's a player that I think has made big strides, learning how to play away from the puck in the past year with his coaching staff, has learned how to manage the puck in his game and his emotions a little bit better. But it's that fine line. He's a heartbeat guy. You want him to play with that fire and that emotion. You want him to toe the line, and he's done a good job of that.
Provorov.
Wow, he's just a horse. Just a horse. Just a tremendous two-way player, but just a big, strong horse. Oh. And can play all day, great shape, and a tremendous pick, and such a a foundational piece for us.
Hey, I tell you, man, it feels like it doesn't stop with the young talent, but Farabee, Frost, I mean, those kids have tremendous futures. I mean, when you analyze those kids, what are you seeing?
Well, they're both young guys that are, you know, learning the NHL. Farabee right now has played more games than Morgan, and I would say that's probably because his two-way game is a little bit more refined and defined right now, and a little easier to break in as a winger too versus a center, so it's probably a little easier learning curve. But Morgan's got all kinds of talent, and he's made great strides this year, and he's going to be a huge part of our future, and I wouldn't even count him out this playoffs. I mean, he's a kid that I think has the ability to step in and play and make plays and seize the ice, and you can never have enough offensive guys, and he's a good one.
And then finally, your veteran core, and with G and the leadership that Giroux has been, and Couturier, those two have been just really a big part of buying into this whole thing.
Yeah, they are, and then they wear letters for a reason. They understand the challenge ahead of us, and they've battled hard and done their job in terms of playing the game, but they've also been great leaders for the young players and a great conduit, really, for the coaching staff to continue to get their message across to the team. And I think they understand the opportunity here, and they understand how difficult it's going to be. But right now, I know they're excited as anybody on our team to get this going.
And then finally, this story, this season has been one amazing story, and a guy that we're all rooting for and is been just an amazing figure is Oscar Lindblom.
Yeah, Oscar's is in the midst of a breakout season. Then you get a cancer diagnosis, which obviously rocked his world and rocked our team as well. And it's been amazing to see him battle through and to kind of get to the end of his treatments and it, hopefully all going well, be given another chance here to come back and play and restart your life and your career. And he's very excited about it. And he's with us here now and still in quarantine. But over the next couple of days, hopefully we can get him back and get him started skating on the ice. And I don't know how long it'll take him to get going. But, I know he's just excited about, again, resuming his career and restarting his life and being a part of our group. And our players are very excited to have him here as well.
Yeah, and you know, the whole city's rooting for him. Lastly, Chuck, I got to say, I'm curious, what's your feeling about Philadelphia? How's it been for you personally here?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, we love the area. And I've been coming here for years as part of visiting teams to certainly understand the success of this franchise and the passion of the fans. And it's great. Our fan base is a little bit like our coach, honest, direct, blunt. and that's good. That's a good thing. But they care and they know good hockey. Hopefully we can find a way to do something here the rest of this summer to entertain them. But we're excited to get going, and it's been great year and a half in this area for sure.
That's awesome. You like August hockey? What do you think?
Why not? Why not?
And why so not? I give Bettman, I give the league a ton of credit. They did the bubble cities. They were smart. They originally pivoted off of Vegas and you went right to Canada and they did a great job. I'll tell you, there's nothing better than during like today at 3 o'clock. We got a game and we got games on all night. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it's great. And once you're in the rink, you don't even know what time of the year it is. But yeah, it's definitely different when you're walk outside and it's 85, 90 degrees and sunny and wearing shorts, but no, we're ready. Awesome. We're ready to play, and the guys are. Again, it just seems like we've had a lot of downtime here, and I know we're excited to get the series going.
That's awesome. Listen, best of luck, Chuck. We really appreciate your time, man. It's a lot of fun, and you deserve a lot of credit. And thanks. Keep it going, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
There he is, Chuck Fletcher, Flyers GM on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.